From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Today, game week 34, we go into the wood. After the Kiwis' claret hat-trick, is there more to come? We check out other unexpected assets and the underperforming Bruno Fernandes. Special Bruno no longer. Is it time to can him? All that and more in this official Fantasy Premier League podcast from the Premier League. Hello, everybody. We're counting down to game week 34 on today's show. It's another Friday deadline for you. And ahead of that, we've got the combined managerial minds of Lee Bomfield of the FBL family.
Hello, James. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Lee. Also, we have football writers Jack Lang.
Hi, James.
And also Tom Williams.
Hello, James.
Hello to you. Jack, as you may have spotted, listener, is the highest scorer here amongst us with 60 points from game week 33. Tom, meanwhile, was the highest ranked in our mini league at the moment of us four. 10 points clear, just 10 points though, clear of Lee Bonfield. So, yeah.
Am I right behind
Tom?
Surely.
Yeah, you're
right
behind Tom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, the other day he was chasing down your other half, Sam Bonfield. That didn't work out too well.
Yeah, had a bit of a setback a couple of weeks ago, so I'm clawing my way back. Got back into the top 100,000 this week, so hopefully that's a sign of things to come.
Did you have that Jammy Watkins assist this week, Tom?
Jammy? I have stood by Ollie Watkins almost the entire season. That Jammy assist was merely, you know, my faith being rewarded.
What expertise led to your 60-point haul, Jack Lang?
Again, it's my defence is actually bailing me out time and time again at the moment, in that I got some very, I only got 11 players out for a start, but it was the kind of didn't think it was worth a transfer given that there are possible doubles coming up. But yeah, just unexpected clean sheet from Pascal's strike was very nice, and a good captain choice, which has been quite a rarity for me this season.
You went with Ian Atcher, did you?
I did, yeah, and it's quite tough, I think, when your captain plays on the final game of the game week, Monday night, because it means a heck of a lot is riding on it. But yeah, at 75 minutes, I was starting to get a bit twitchy, but a late goal was very, very welcome.
He came through for you and all the other many, many managers who'd given him the armband. That business of the defence bailing us out, though, a lot of weekends, particularly this last one, have been very low scoring. So it's a lot of kind of fancy attacking options or assets that are no longer delivering in quite the way that the players at the back have been doing. Lee, one who did though was Chris Wood. Now, we did the FPL show last week for the Premier League, and we talked about Chris Wood. We also talked about Castagne and Matheus Pereira. I was wildcarding, so I had the opportunity to completely ignore that and get none of them.
I was just going to say, how many of those did you bring in?
None, because I didn't believe. No faith. But is it time to believe? Is it time to believe in Chris Wood? 20 points this weekend. Can I tell you that just short of 6,000 managers captain him and four managers triple captain Chris Wood. 60 points from one player.
That's probably Chris Wood, Chris Wood's partner and Chris Wood's parents, I imagine.
That was it, yeah. It's incredible though, isn't it? I mean, he was kind of bubbling under for a few weeks previous to the hat trick. He had no double digit hauls, but he had a kind of, you know, eights, nines, sevens. And for that reason, you know, wasn't massively on anybody's radar, I don't think. Only 2% owned at the weekend. Mm. So there's only 2% of FPL managers that got that massive haul. But now firmly on the radar. And actually, over the last few weeks, Burnley have shown a bit more attacking intent. I think if you go back to certainly this season, but previous seasons, you associate Burnley Football Club with a solid defence, you know, fairly direct football and kind of, you know, not very sexy football, let's put it that way. But certainly in the last few weeks, they seem to be trying out something new. And that something new is benefiting the likes of Chris Wood and Vidra in recent weeks as well. So, yeah, maybe this new attack-minded Burnley is one we should be investing in.
6 of his 10 goals for the season and all 3 of his assists have come in Burnley's last 6 matches. So is that something that we're all looking to get on?
Yeah, tricky one this season because the striker bracket feels a bit different than it has a lot of the previous campaigns, I think, in that there are a lot of strikers around that price point who are guaranteed to play 90 minutes most weeks and who do, you know, chip in with goals. Ian Acho, Bamford, Watkins. It's there's more variety in the striker department than I think I can remember in fantasy over the last decade, really. So, yeah, I mean, Wood is one really good option, but all of those other players I named as well continue to be good choices. And for me, it's just, you know, I've got Bamford and Iheanacho, and there are issues elsewhere in my team that it feels like a bit of a waste of a transfer getting rid of Bamford to put in another striker who will play 90 minutes for a team that scores quite a lot of goals. So, yeah, it's not priority.
Anyone disagree with that?
No. I think my feeling about Chris Wood is that I have probably missed the boat already.
Was the boat?
Well, I just watched it passing from the dock, you know, waving forlornly. I note that he is the third most transferred in forwards in FPL this week. Burnley's fixtures: home to West Ham, away at Fulham, home to Leeds, home to Liverpool, away at Sheffield United. I mean, the thing you know with Chris Wood is he's going to start every game, and you know he very frequently plays the entire 90 minutes. He is the figurehead in that team. But I mean, famous last words, I don't think we're going to see another haul like that from him this season. So I would be wary about, you know, moving heaven and earth to get him in your team, because that is generally something that you should be wary of.
I might get him FPL just because Tom has said that now.
There's not many good defences there, though, guys, is there? I mean, look, you know, West Ham without Rice and, okay, Creswell might be coming back, but they seem to have a defender sent off pretty much every week at the minute, West Ham. Then Fulham, who have been a bit forlorn. Leeds, who are improving, but historically this season haven't been that defensively solid, but have improved, I will give them that. Liverpool, who struggled to keep a lead going into the last 5 or 10 minutes, as we've seen last couple of game weeks, and then Sheffield United. So if you're looking purely at the fixtures, I'd possibly disagree with you. I'd say maybe there is more boats to come for us to jump on.
Are you bringing Chris Wood in this week, Lee?
Well, do you know what? I have Vidra in my team right now as a bit of Burnley sort of forward FPL fodder. I brought him in mainly for his price. And it feels a bit sideways to go to him. But listen, I think because of Wood's form, I think that'll benefit Burnley as a team in their attack. And if Wood and Vidra are going to play together, then perhaps Vidra makes more appearances off my bench and starts in the first 11.
Interesting. A couple of other names that similarly caught the eye in game week 33. Joe Willock, who for the third straight week came on and scored as a substitute for Newcastle, to the chagrin of anyone who had Liverpool defensive assets. Also, Matheus Pereira. Crikey, his numbers in the top five for chances created and shots on target over the last 6 game weeks. He's had 11 FPL attacking returns since the turn of the year, which is as many as Mo Salah has had. His average over the last 4 matches is over 10 points a game.
Last time I was on, James, I talked about the Sean Maloney example of a doomed, seemingly doomed player who just starts scoring and assisting every week. And in Pereira's case, it feels very related to a possible transfer he might want to seal for himself after this season, because I think he is Premier League quality. And, you know, it's an up and down campaign, playing for what was for most of the season not a very good team. Look a bit better now, but definitely seems to be kind of trying to earn a move, keep himself in the Premier League. And, you know, that kind of personal motivation, I think that can be a very powerful factor in fantasy football, and I am considering him at some point. But the fixtures aren't that positive, are they?
Beyond him, are there other similar examples that we could catch, we could get on their boats before they sail out the dock and leave us waving forlornly?
One boat that I'm potentially about to clamber aboard is the Alain Saint-Maximin boat. I was actually on that boat as it left the dock in August, but then it hits choppy waters and I...
It doesn't take a lot for that boat to kind of fall apart, does it, unfortunately?
Well, yeah.
As much as I love the boat, right?
But, I mean, what a boat. And now that it's back in... I mean, this metaphor is taking on water to an unbelievable degree. But, I mean, I think what Sir Maximum has shown in the last few weeks is what a fantastic footballer he is, and also what a valuable player he can be in FPL. He only costs 5.1 million. Which probably makes him the best value player in that price range. His ownership is currently under 3%, so there's real differential potential there. And I think he's kind of fixture-proof in the sense that I wonder whether he's almost more liable to bring in big point scores against the big teams than against the smaller teams, because he's someone who plays very high up the pitch and who thrives on space. And we saw that against Liverpool last weekend. He was constantly getting on the ball in dangerous areas, you know, running past people, picking up fouls. And I think the fact that he's coming back to fitness after a long period out of the team means that he should be fresh. You know, Newcastle are still trying to rubber stamp survival so that, you know, that they've got something riding on their games, which certain teams don't. So, yeah, if you've got a spare, you know, 5.5, 6 FPL million knocking around, you could do much worse than put it on the Alassane Maximin boat.
Arsenal at home, Leicester away, Man City at home, and then Sheffield United at home and Fulham away to finish off for Newcastle. Will you be getting him in, Tom?
Not this week, but potentially next week.
All right then. Hey, shall we have a quick look then at the fixtures for Game Week 34? Game Week 34, it's a Friday deadline. 6:30 on Friday, everybody. 90 minutes before Saints kick the weekend off at home to Leicester. Hey, you know what happened in that fixture last season, which was also, as fate would have it, on a Friday evening? Jack does, don't you, Jack?
One particular number is coming to mind. I like this because Saints fans get really annoyed when you talk about it, like as if you should avoid a really significant result that shaped the entire 12 months that followed. Oh, don't mention that. I will happily mention the 9-0.
9-0. Okay, well, that's Friday evening. Saturday, Palace take on Man City. Brighton host Leeds. Chelsea face Fulham and Everton. Welcome Aston Villa to Goodison Park. On Sunday, ooh, this looks big. You've got Newcastle, Arsenal, and then Man United, Liverpool, with Spurs, Sheffield United to follow. And then two games on the Monday, West Brom, Wolves, and Burnley, West Ham. Tom, a lot of us are going to have players involved in that Man United Liverpool game. Is that a good thing?
I suspect probably not. It's a really fiddly one from an FPL perspective. I've got four players in my squad from these two teams. I've got Trent Alexander-Arnold and Diogo Jota from Liverpool and Luke Shaw and Bruno Fernandes from United. And this fixture always gets hyped. It's a game that we always look forward to, you know, the two grandest, most successful clubs in the country. But the games between them are generally terrible. And of their last 9 meetings, 6 have finished either 0-0 or 1-1. Slight caveat that when they met in the FA Cup most recently, United won 3-2, and it was quite an entertaining open game. But, you know, we are seeing teams that look a little bit leggy in recent weeks. The goals have dried up a little bit. So I think if you do have players from these teams, it might make more sense to back a low scoring encounter than to hope for a goal fest. I'm going to start with Bruno Fernandes. I know his form has been dreadful, but I just think, you know, the fact that he is the key man for United in attack, the fact that he's on penalties means that it's hard to drop him. I think I might bench Jota, and then I'm going to hedge my bets by going Trent Alexander-Arnold rather than Luke Shaw in defence. But I've got a few other defenders who aren't guaranteed to start, so Luke Shaw might come in anyway.
We'll talk about Bruno Fernandes a little bit later on when we look at replies to our Twitter question, which is what you can do about Bruno Fernandes. But regarding defenders and other options, Mo Salah, for example, Diogo Jota, what are your thoughts, Lee and Jack?
Yeah, difficult game to call, isn't it, this one? And I've got the four players that Tom's got, as well as Mo Salah in this game. So it is a really tricky game to navigate. Actually, currently in my team, I've benched Diogo Jota, although he may come in. It's so hard to call this one because you've got Manchester United, I think, got Europa League ties either side of this game at Old Trafford. So will they rotate a little bit, potentially? But we've seen what happens when Ole Gunnar Solskjaer rotates Bruno Fernandes and rests him in the Premier League. It doesn't tend to go that well. So in a game like this, where United could, you know, effectively kill off any remote hopes that Liverpool might have of achieving top four, you've got to think that he's going to put his main men in there. And then Liverpool, you know, have to go for it now. They have to go for it. Drop 2 points against Leeds, drop 2 points against Newcastle. Have to win games now to get into that top four. So you'd think Klopp's going to put out a fairly attacking side. So genuinely, a really difficult game to call. And I think you're spot on, Tom. It's very fiddly is exactly the right word from an FPL perspective.
Jack, have you got any insight?
Similar position. I've got three. I've got Jota, Alexander-Arnold and Fernandes. My temptation is because my kind of benchy rotation players have all got quite acceptable fixtures. You know, Pascal Strike away at Brighton, that could be a clean sheet. Suchek is always an okay player to bring in. I'm almost tempted to bench all three of them, actually, because I think I can't see a Liverpool clean sheet for Alexander-Arnold if they're attacking. I don't think Jota played very well at the weekend at all, and I think his place could be in doubt. He was subbed off before the hour mark, as all fantasy owners will remember. And even Fernandes is probably the one I would go for, as Tom said, penalties and just the fulcrum factor. But because I have to catch up ground in a lot of my leagues, I think this could be an opportunity to just say, actually, let's ditch this match entirely, bench them all despite their price, and let's see if Suchek and Strauch can do the business.
Nice. All right, so Suchek and Strauch, where else are you looking to pick up points? Is there another fixture, Jack, that you're going to go big on?
Yeah, well, the one that's really troubling me at the moment is Spurs against Sheffield United, because obviously on paper that's the kind of fixture you have circled for any of your big name assets. Most of us own Harry Kane. Even though he missed the second game of his double game week, I don't think that many people would have sold him just because it wasn't a long injury. But he is someone who does take a long time often to kind of get back into his momentum after a small break. And it's that classic, the League Cup final, oh, Harry wanted to play. Newsflash to all football managers, footballers all want to play.
Especially that in cup mean finals. Anything.
Yeah, in cup finals. Oh, he just wanted to play. Yeah, get that. So I think the choice about whether or not to captain Kane, I think, could define this game week for a lot of people.
What's your opinion on that?
At the moment, I have the armband on Iheanacho just because the form is better. I think Sheffield United have tightened up a little bit at the back. They were better against Brighton and even against Chelsea. I think they weren't, the kind of basket case they were earlier in the season. Spurs, I don't think have had enough time out of the Mourinho bubble to have improved that much in an attacking sense. I think a lot of people will captain Kane based on that fixture. And I fear that, he could easily get a goal or two, but because I'm catching up in so many of my leagues, I'm going to not go for that option and hope Iheanacho does the business instead.
I see. We'll talk more about captaincy later on. Lee, what do you think, though, about Spurs and their prospects against Sheffield United?
Yeah, I mean, on paper, it looks like the fixture to target, doesn't it, over the course of this game week. But, I'm not seeing enough from Spurs. Certainly that cup final completely outplayed by Man City, weren't they? Certainly in the first 45 minutes. So, yeah, I'm with Jack. I'm kind of reluctant to go to Harry Kane. And one of my transfers out previous game week was I took Son out because he obviously didn't have a game last week and put Salah in. With potentially the intent to reverse that transfer for this game week, but I'm probably not going to do that. I'm probably not going to do that because I thought Son looked pretty knackered, to be honest with you, in that cup final. And actually the form that he's shown and Spurs have shown recently isn't enough for me to want to double up. We'll talk about captaincy later. He is going to be heavily captained, Harry Kane. So if you're going to go against it, Jack, it's a risk, no doubt. But if you're chasing in your mini leagues, then yeah, it's a risk worth taking on a player like Iheanacho in such good form.
Okay. Meantime, Lee, tell us about Brighton Leeds.
Yeah, so this isn't a game that immediately catches the eye of the FPL manager, I don't think. But certainly 3 weeks ago, I played my wild card and removed all of my Leeds assets because they had three really tricky games against top sides, and they've gone and they've gone and proved me wrong because they got a result at the Etihad, then they've got good results, and I think ended up with 5 points out of the last three games against difficult teams. So, showing a bit of form, and actually defensively showing a lot better form than they did at the beginning of the season. And I didn't really have any stats to back that up, but I thought, well, I'm on the FPL pod, so I better go and get some. So I had a look at Leeds between game weeks 1 to 24 versus Leeds game week 25 to 33. So the last 8 game weeks, effectively, versus the rest of the season. And actually, the big chances that they've conceded per game is halved. It's gone from 2.6 to 1.3. Despite playing some pretty good sides in those last eight fixtures. And the average XG, and I always bring you some XG, James. I know you love XG. The average XG, which is the expected goals conceded, XGC, per game for Leeds, has dropped from 1.7 to 1.25. So defensively, they are performing far better. And I wonder whether Bielsa, having thrown caution to the wind for most of the season and attacked at will, I wonder whether he is just looking at his side defensively and thinking, if we, you know, we're going to stay up, we're going to be in the Premier League next season, let's try and defend a bit better, let's try and work on our defensive shape and solidity. And I think that's working pretty well. So if you sort the fixture difficulty rating, and we'll look at this in the long view in a sec, if you sort that by difficulty, Leeds are right at the top right now. The remaining fixtures for the rest of the season look good. Brighton not scoring many goals either. So if you've got a Dallas, if you've got a Stroik or anybody else, my suggestion is absolutely play them for this week.
Okay, those fixtures, we might as well say this now, Leeds, they are away at Brighton this weekend, then home to Spurs, then away at Burnley, away at Southampton, and they finish off at home to West Brom. You've got Dallas, who I think, do we all have Dallas? If we don't have him, I bet we wish we did. Diego Llorente, though, is also...
Sorry, James, I don't currently have Dallas, and I think I'm going to bring him in this week, because the finishing line now looming into sight, and me leading many of my mini leagues, my approach is set to become ultra cynical.
Right.
And I will just be basically copying the teams of all my closest rivals to make sure they cannot bridge any of the gaps they're trying to make up. And
very defensive strategy, Tom.
Bringing in Stuart Dallas is very much part of that.
What about Diego Llorente, who's been cropping up in the points tallies in the last couple of weeks? 17 points across the last two game weeks, only owned by 0.2%. 4.4 million is the price. So that's considerably cheaper, of course, than Stuart Dallas.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, as a cheaper defensive asset, I think bringing in Llorente makes a lot of sense. He frees up cash elsewhere. As Lee was saying, Leeds have really tightened up in recent weeks, and they've got a lovely run in. They're already safe. They're established, you know, for next season. So it's a bit of a free hit for them. So I can see them racking up some points between now and the end of the season. I think the thing with Stuart Dallas is that because he's playing as an advanced central midfielder, he carries huge points potential. So I wouldn't advise anyone to go Llorente or Strike over Dallas. But yeah, they're certainly worth looking at given Leeds' form and the fixtures they've got coming up.
Quick word about Saints-Leicester as well. Obviously, it was 9-0. Nobody likes talking about that last time out on a Friday night. Exactly the same circumstances as this weekend, except that now Leicester have got even more firepower. Vardy, who blanked last time out, but Ian Acho, who's been in exceptional form. And Saints, on a rotten run, just one win and four defeats in their last five. Beyond Ian Acho, Castagna shone last weekend. Any other assets you'd be looking to bring in, or do you think maybe Saints could turn things around in this?
No reason not to look at Vardy. I mean, Vardy changed his game actually recently in terms of the creativity that he's providing in that side now for Ian Acho and others. But again, he's got that price tag looming over him, isn't he? And if you've already got Kane in your side, and you're probably going to have Ian Acho as well, so do you want another Leicester attacker at that sort of price tag? It's going to be difficult to fit him in.
Mm. What about the likes of Maddison and, as I say, Castagna?
Yeah, I mean, Castagna and Pereira are both very attractive picks. We saw Castagna popping up with a goal last weekend. And, you know, both he and Pereira get forward very well. Maddison's now back into the team after injury and is someone who, you know, has been a fairly solid FPL pick in the past. I think my feeling is that I probably want to wait to see a more consistent run of form from him before looking to bring him in. The one slight concern with Leicester is that their fixtures fall off a cliff with three games to go in the season. So away at Southampton, at home at Newcastle, which both look very winnable games, then away at Man United, away at Chelsea, home to Tottenham. Leicester's record this season in some of those big games has been decent. So it's not, you know, it's not beyond them to pick up points in those games. But we saw that they really crashed at the end of last season. So that's something that might be worth keeping in mind if you are looking at those Leicester players.
United and Chelsea likely to have other things on their mind as well, Tom, potentially, in terms of Europe. So could Leicester steal a march on them because of that?
Well, it's an interesting question, Lee. Next up, anyway, let's have a poke around at the games to come after this weekend in the long view. Long view time. Well, long-ish views. Only five rounds left. And looking at them on the FDR chart, as I think Lee was saying, Leeds very much at the top there with that run of Brighton away, Spurs at home, Burnley and Southampton away, West Brom at home. Right behind them, though, you've got West Ham and Liverpool, who've both got nice, attractive-looking fixtures to come. Are we all looking to load up where possible on Leeds, West Ham and Liverpool?
Personally, I'm looking more at the teams who have got a fixture that hasn't been announced to be added to the to the mix, in that there are still some games to be carried over. So we could get double game week in game week 35 next time. Hasn't been announced yet, so this is just rough speculation. But there are four teams who could have a double and then not blank the next week. And those are Aston Villa, Crystal Palace, Everton and Southampton. Obviously, something they all have in common is they're in rubbish form, which makes them quite difficult to get behind. But there are players in there that are kind of lurking on my radar. I think one of them at the moment is James Rodriguez, who's looked a little bit sparky since he came back into the Everton side. They're not playing brilliantly by any means, but he strikes me as the kind of person who, in the same way he started the season well, I think he seems like a good season ender, in that he'll play well for the bits of the season you'll ultimately end up remembering, and people will think he had like an amazing season. There's just something about a player of that style that I think
his boat's about as reliable as St. Maximin's boat, though, isn't it? I mean,
but it's got some lovely
opportunity,
lovely decoration, Lee. Like the
you're
actual,
right. Yeah, you're all right.
The actual decking is a bit ropey, but there's some very ornate metalwork on the top, and yeah, it's tempting me.
Right. What about Dominic Calvert-Lewin, his teammate?
Yeah, Calvert-Lewin in and out of the team at the moment with injuries, isn't he? I know I just mentioned James Rodriguez, and you're rightfully giving me an askance look there. But yeah, I've had Calvert-Lewin on at least two occasions this season, and I had him when I wildcarded about three or four, maybe five game weeks ago, thinking that their run-in was just too good to turn down. And then he obviously got injured and actually became a factor. If he's fit, if he can properly get fit for the final run-in, then I think he's definitely an option. Because, yeah, those fixtures, they don't really get much better than that, I think, especially with an extra one as well.
Are you looking, Jack, at any of the defenders for Everton? Because I agree with you on the fixtures. And of course, if they do get a double game week in game week 35, as we think they might do, then you're right, in 36, they come out into Sheffield United at home and Wolves at home. OK, they finished the season away at the Etihad. But what's great about Everton is they've got a potentially nice looking double game week. And then they come out into nice fixtures, whereas a lot of other teams that we're invested in will maybe have a double game week, but they'll come out into a worse fixture, or even worse, a blank fixture. So Everton, definitely one I'm targeting. And actually, Seamus Coleman, since he's come back into the side, has returned in each of his last four games. He only didn't start against Spurs, I think, a couple of game weeks ago. But when he came on for Iwobi on, I think, the 60th or 61st minute, came on and immediately set up the goal and got an assist. So at only 1.8% owned at time of recording, he could be a really nice differential for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, I've got Luca Dean as well, who, you know, he's been picking up clean sheet points. I think he feels like he's overdue the assist, which was the main reason why I got him in all honesty. But yeah, I think Calvert-Lewin's absence really harms Dean, because his supply is very much looking for Calvert-Lewin towering header at the far post. So yeah, if Calvert-Lewin comes back, that could unlock more points for me in that way as well.
Also, in terms of long view, quick question about Chelsea, whose run of clean sheets has been well documented. Do you think that's going to continue, and do Chelsea defenders remain the best way of investing in Thomas Tuchel's side?
I mean, Chelsea's fixture this week is appealing, home to Fulham. Their fixtures get a little bit trickier after that, away to Man City, home to Arsenal, home to Leicester, and then away at Aston Villa on the final day. I think the worry with Chelsea is rotation. And Thomas Tuchel has shown that he will rotate practically every single position in the team, even the goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. I've had Antonio Rudiger since playing my wild card about 6 or 7 weeks ago. And I have not yet been able to figure out when he is going to start and when he isn't going to start. There are players who play more often than others. Azpilicueta is one of those. Mason Mount is one of those. But particularly with Chelsea halfway through their Champions League semi-final against Real Madrid and looking well-placed to qualify there, you know, that only increases the risk of rotation. So, yeah, I've only got Rudiger in my team at the moment. I'm slightly anxious about whether he's going to start on the weekend against Fulham. So while there is understandable appeal with those Chelsea players, particularly the defensive players, given how good their record is, that just sort of makes me kind of want to hold back a little bit.
Mm. What about you, Lee and Jack?
Yeah, so I have the goalkeeper. I have Mendy from Chelsea, and that's fine. And if Kepa comes in, I have Sanchez as my backup goalkeeper from Brighton, so I'm kind of okay with that. The defender from Chelsea that I have is Reece James, though, and I brought him in a couple of weeks ago on my wildcard, thinking, well, listen, if he doesn't play or he gets rotated, that's fine. I've got a bench, I can cover it. But I have to tell you, it's a deeply frustrating own. This is a problem all of my own making, to be honest with you. Having said that, he did come on against Real Madrid the other night, but didn't play the full 90. I think he only got 20, 30 minutes. So I agree with Tom. I'll be holding him for Fulham at home because I think that's a nice fixture. I think it's a fixture where Tuchel will look to attack it and therefore play Reece James. But after that, City, Arsenal, Leicester, all in there. And with the impending rotation risk, he's probably one that will make way. It could be my make way to get Dallas back in, actually.
All right. If you were looking to gain some ground in various mini-leagues, etc., Ajak, would you consider bringing in Marcus Alonso just for this week?
No.
Okay, then.
I love Marcus Alonso. Like he's. I've had some great fantasy memories with Alonso, but nice. I would never bring in a player just for a single game week. There's too much that can go wrong in a small sample size, small period of time. And yeah, even though, you know, it's a good looking fixture, he can always get attacking returns. Fulham can score out of nothing, and then you've wasted both a short term possibility and kind of planning leeway for the long term. So it looks to me like Chilwell has moved ahead of him in the pecking order there, and I don't think I would be quite so brazen.
Okay,
for this week though, could be all right as a 1 week punt. I mean, surely Chilwell gets the rest and ahead of that now really crucial Real Madrid second leg. I think for a 1 week punt, if for whatever reason you're free hitting, then Alonso's a decent pick.
Yeah, or right. If you've got two spare transfers and weren't going to use one anyway, yeah, maybe. But I speak as someone who's plans are
playing FPL properly
up in the air. Yeah.
All right, well, one of the big questions facing managers everywhere is what to do about Bruno Fernandes, and that's a question we put to you, listener, this week with our FPL pod tweet. We'll get the answers after this. Yep, this week's tweet, hashtag FPL pod, with two attacking returns in eight games, is it time to sell Bruno Fernandes? Now, we all know the paradigm here. He'll continue to underperform until such time as we, as individuals, sell him. And then somehow, and this will simultaneously be true for millions of different managers around the world at different moments, he will suddenly fire up again. That is the magic of FPL. What do listeners think, though? Well, Alfie says, wait, people still have him. John says, I sold him for -4 this week to put Foden in. Hope that wasn't a bad move.
Narrator. What do you think? It was a bad move.
Yeah. Do you think it was a bad move, Tom?
The only issue with Foden is he's not guaranteed to start. And particularly as City have got Champions League semi-final commitments where Foden pretty much is guaranteed to start. As much as I'm sure we all love Phil Foden as a footballer, I don't think he is a reliable FPL pick.
Okay. Victor says, wait one more week with Fernandes. I smell a penalty and an assist against Liverpool. Side says he hasn't been productive for a while now, but I'm getting rid, even though I'm sure that the moment I'll do, he'll run the midfield in the next game and score a hat-trick. Whippy FC, in which case, Side, please get rid of him as soon as possible because we've all still got him. Whippy FC says, yeah, it's time to move on. Spurs have easy fixtures. If you don't already have Son or have sold him, now's a good time to get him back in as a replacement. Well, Lee doesn't think so.
So yeah, I mean, my thoughts on Bruno are completely conflicted right now. It's got the potential to be quite end of season defining as to whether you sell him or not, in my view. I looked again at that game week period between 26 and 33, the last eight game weeks. He's only registered 23 penalty area touches, which sounds a lot, but it's actually 34 less than the top midfielder, which is Salah with 57. And it leaves him 23rd amongst midfielders for that statistic over that period. So his underlying statistics, which we hope feed eventually FPL points, way down, way, way down in terms of touches in the box. However, I have him in my team. And given that we think that the game week 36 fixture is likely to be pushed forward into 35 and create a double game week, it would be a very brave FPL manager to sell Bruno Fernandes ahead of a potential double game week in 35. So, yeah, listen, if you're looking at all the stats, you're looking, even just the eye test, even just watching Bruno, he doesn't look quite on his game. But that double game week means I'm probably going to hold.
Okay, because the points per match average is almost halved in the last eight fixtures, but the prospect of him having two games means that he would be back up to the same kind of level he used to have in one, I guess. What are you going to do with him, Jack?
I think I'm going to hold for the reasons Lee outlined. I mean, obviously, the form has dropped off, but he's still, since he arrived in the Premier League as an FPL player, he's averaged a goal contribution, so a goal or assist, every 89 minutes. And, you know, even taking into account the dip in form, you know, I'm sure tiredness is a factor. He seems to be playing very deep, as Lee said. That's still very hard to ignore with three fixtures across two game weeks, potentially. And yeah, I think it would take a braver man than me.
Two votes to keep. What do you think, Tom? Are you a braver man than Jack?
No. No, I'm not. No, I feel like sort of contemplating getting rid of Bruno Fernandes is a luxury that I currently do not have. There are far more pressing issues that need addressing in my team. And I think the thing with Fernandes is he's guaranteed to start pretty much every game. And even if he's having an absolute shocker, he can still pop up with a penalty. He takes, the odd free kick. He scored the winner against Liverpool in the FA Cup from a free kick. And he's also capable of just, you know, doing something at the drop of a hat. So, yes, his recent dip in form has been a bit annoying from an FPL perspective. But I think getting rid of him would be a big risk.
If you didn't have him right now, would you be bringing him back in, though?
Devil's advocate over here.
Is he a buy right now, or is he a hold or a sell? I'm really conflicted.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure you would be sort of, you know, breaking the bank to bring him in on current form. But given that most people have got him anyway,
he's the most owned player in FPL.
There you go.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's next up then conclude by looking at what transfers you're going to make. The other pressing issues, perhaps, that Tom was just talking about. And also who's going to get the captaincy for game week 34. Transfers and captains. Tom, first of all, you mentioned all the other pressing issues you've got right now. Like what?
So I'm in a bit of a good Kermit, evil Kermit situation again, in that good Kermit is like, hey, you're having a good season, just play the game, you know, take your risks. Why not bring in Alexander Lacazette this weekend for Ollie Watkins? You know, not many people have got him. They've got some nice fixtures. Just, you know, keep doing what you've been doing. Don't overthink it. And then evil Kermit is like, you're in the lead in a lot of your mini leagues. Look at the teams of your rivals. Match those teams. Crush those opponents. Just grind this out over
you
the
need
line.
You need to tell good Kermit that Lacazette's injured, by the way.
Well, no, he's not actually, Lee, because the latest info, hashtag breaking, as we sat down to record, was that he's in contention to play for Arsenal in the Europa League on Thursday evening against Villarreal.
All right.
So that changes things slightly. So
Do the fragmented elements of your psyche always manifest as Kermit, or are other Muppets involved as well?
When it comes to FPL, I have increasingly come to think of it as Kermit, just because it's you know, it's a meme that we're all familiar with.
Because and Tom struggles to commit to anything.
Oh, wow.
It's a little dig there from Jack. So the evil Kermit recommendation this week is to bring in Stuart Dallas in place of Ben White, because I don't currently have Stuart Dallas. He's a bit of a points magnet. He has got a nice run of games with Leeds, and my other Leeds player, Rafinha, is currently red flagged and may not feature. So I'd quite like to have some kind of Leeds representation, so I'm leaning towards that. Dallas in for Ben White, and that means I'm not as dependent on my Man United and Liverpool defenders in what we've already established is quite a fiddly fixture to call.
All right. Fair enough. We'll hear about your captaincy pick in a second. Lee, what wheeling dealing are you going to be doing?
So I'm going to be glued to the news, really, in terms of when FPL are going to announce these fixture changes. Because if the double game week for 35 does pan out as we want to, then I'll be looking to kind of pile into some of those teams. I mean, I'll go back to the conversation we had about Aston Villa and Everton, though. Two teams who at some stage will double. There is a double coming for these guys, and there is not a blank either, right? So I'm going to start targeting those guys, I think. I like Jack's pick on Dina, but I also think that Coleman, since he's come back in, as I mentioned before, nice form, reasonable fixtures coming out of the potential double as well. So it would seem crazy to get rid of a Manchester City player in a week where they're playing Crystal Palace, but I just don't think Diaz is going to play. I just honestly don't. They've got other things to think about, haven't they, Manchester City? So Diaz to Coleman, or indeed to Dina, could be on for me. So that's probably the move I'm going to make. Or else I may roll the transfer and just make that decision next week.
I see. Depending on when the news comes through about the double game week, perhaps. All right, Jack, what have you got lined up?
I'm going to save the transfer this week. I've got a pretty good set of fixtures. And even if there could be a bit of rotation, Rudiger, as Tom mentioned, Cancelo could be a rotation risk. But even if they don't play, I've got plenty on the bench. So at the moment, Suchek and Alexander-Arnold would come in for them. I'm fine with that, really. So I'm going to, keep the transfer in my pocket for next week and then kind of attack the double game weeks and come up with a plan to claw some points back in the dying weeks.
All right, smart thinking. What about then captaincy? Jack, who are you going to give the armband to?
I'm going for Iheanacho on form and crossing every set of digits on my body that Harry Kane isn't quite fit yet.
Right. Tom Williams?
I think I'm going to play the percentages and Captain Kane, unless Ryan Mason gives an indication that there are any doubts about his fitness, in which case I might go to Son. But for the moment...
Is that a good Kermit or a bad Kermit decision, that, Tom?
That's bad Kermit. Bad Kermit is just play the percentages, don't listen to your heart, listen to your head, just Mourinho this out to the end of the season.
Okay. And Lee?
Yeah, I'm not sure which bad Muppet is on my shoulder, some other bad Muppet, but yeah, I'm going to do the same as Tom, I think. It's arguably the league's best striker against, statistically, the league's worst defence. So, yeah, no overthinking from me, Kane captain.
All right. When you put it like that, hard to disagree. All right, well, whatever you decide to do, make sure you get it done by Friday 6:30. Ahead of the deadline, of course, you can find more Game Week 34 tips, scouting reports, and the FPL show over at fantasy.premierleague.com. For now, though, many, many thanks to Lee, Tom, and Jack. Best of luck with the Game Week, and we'll see you next week from all of us here. It's goodbye.